No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. Now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Hold it, man. He's not bluffing.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now for a Monday, the Monday after another horrific shooting. This one down in Texas, and it's incredible. 26 dead, 20 wounded, some critical, and the youngest, 18 months old, the oldest, 77, and if not for a good Samaritan with an AR-15, the carnage would have been much worse. Or the shooter would have gone someplace else and killed someplace else. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, joining us. And you get tired with prefacing everything with our thoughts and prayers go out. Mm-hmm. But it really is true. I mean, it's so incredibly sad. In a small, sleepy little Texas community, I've driven through there. I've never stopped at the Valero or anything. I've driven through there, but I've never stopped. Tiny community, 643. 4% of its population was wiped out yesterday. Jesus. I mean, it's just sad.
That whole community is just going to be, I mean, the size of that community to have this much carnage. You know, we had the biggest mass shooting here a month and a week ago, and we have more questions now, I think, than we had the day after and the week after. But the right man with the right gun was there at the right time and saved the town, really. Yeah. To have much more carnage, and there would have been more.
Once again, the shooter is dead. We think it's that he took his own life. He was apparently wounded by one of the Good Samaritans with a weapon. And
an AR-15.
An AR-15, no less. The so-called assault weapons that so many people want to ban. Mm-hmm. What do you make of what happened yesterday? I mean, the why, we're all wondering why. Was it a domestic dispute? Was it a mother-in-law issue? Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure yet. What are your thoughts on what happened yesterday?
He was not psychologically fit to own a weapon. There is a cancer in this country. I said this after Las Vegas, that we have to address. As it continues to be ignored, it further metastasizes. And the cancer is not the AR-15. And I find it very interesting that, you know, you'll have someone like Clinical Carl call up and say that Americans don't need assault weapons. And then they usually cite that the Second Amendment is old and, assault weapons weren't included. They were only muskets. Well, muskets at the time was the most powerful weapon at the time you could own. So it's an equalization of power between force and the helpless. And a government with that much force that could disarm you, what is next? A man with an AR-15 just saved dozens, countless more lives.
Let me just ask you, I mean, this whole notion of, because in the early reporting, it was a man with an assault rifle. And then you ask people that know, and they say, no, an assault rifle would be like an M4 or an M16. Your buddy Lenny says, no, that would be like an M4 or an M16. This is not. This is a semi-automatic weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Do you think the media intentionally does that? The talk? No.
Of course.
The talk of an assault weapon.
Of course. The power of persuasion is the manipulation through words. Words are very heavy. You know, one of the very first things my aunt actually had told me, that now that you have a microphone, be careful of your words. Not be careful what you say, but be careful of your words. Words are very powerful, and they're used as tools. That's propaganda for you. Not only comes through art, it comes through words and how words are used and how they pick and choose when the left wants to talk about a gun ban. They didn't want to talk about a gun ban when Hodgkinson, a deranged Bernie Sanders supporter, registered Democrat, traveled across states to assassinate 24 Republican congressmen. He had a kill list. He just got off one maiming and nearly killing Steve Scalise, and the reason he only got one in his kill list was that the Capitol Police were there, and the only reason the Capitol Police were there was because of Steve Scalise.
Yeah, a member of leadership.
That's right.
Let me just ask you this whole notion of gun-free zones, and churches supposedly are gun-free zones, although...
The first thing I said when I heard about a Texas shooting in a church, I said, why wasn't the congregation? I can't believe that one person in the congregation or pastor was armed. It's in Texas.
Yeah.
It's in rural Texas. I thought for sure one person. But thank God the plumber across the street was with an AR-15.
And then that's an incredible story. And
an angel.
And one that saved countless lives. I'll ask you the same question I asked after 1 October. Anything going to change? Is this a game changer? Is this Newtown, you know, where 20 innocent little children are gunned down? Nothing happened. It did in Connecticut, and we've got members of the Democrat members of the legislature are already talking about more gun control laws when they come back in 2019.
Oh, I thought their leader Chuck Schumer told us last week that, you know, I guess it's never too soon to politicize anything. But that's the interesting thing. Like I said, they pick and choose when they want to make the gun control argument. But when one of their own goes to mow down 24 Republican congressmen, did you hear a gun control argument from Nancy Pelosi or Blumenthal or Chucky Schumer? No. When they came to the podium, they're like, we all just must tone down the violent rhetoric. We all must tone down the violent rhetoric. And a week later, Trump was a Nazi. Ed Gillespie was supported by Nazis and white supremacists. White supremacists were going to run over children with a Confederate flag draped truck. So much for toning down the rhetoric.
More coming up. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. In studio, we're going to talk about the NFL. There's a new ad out, by the way. A new ad that's a positive, pro-military ad.
Imagine the timing on that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. You want to join us, you're always welcome to join us. 1-844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. This is bizarre. We have the list of folks who knelt. The list is limited, but there were, you know, there were 3 here, 12 there. It was not widespread yesterday of NFL players that knelt for the national anthem. But you know what was interesting on the game the games over the weekend. There's a new ad from the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association. It's called Salute to Service. It features Doug Baldwin, Chris Long, Delanie Walker. And I want you to listen because it was very, very pro-military, wasn't anti-flag at all.
We live in this amazing country.
Take a second and realize how lucky we are.
All of us in the locker room, we've been touched by either just spending time with military personnel, having military personnel in our families.
I reflect on my grandfather knowing that I get to kind of live my dream because somebody else is fighting for that.
And when I asked myself, what did they sacrifice for? You know, what was the purpose? It was to protect our freedoms.
So thank you for all y'all do.
Yeah. Yeah. The NFLPA doing its part to say, don't even look at what's going on, you know, with the anthem thing. We're all pro-military. We're pro the flag. I don't know if it's too little too late after. I mean, because, I mean, you got John Schnatter from Papa John's Pizza saying, this NFL thing is bringing my company down.
Right.
The earnings are down because of the NFL.
Yeah. Bummer ball. What I mean, no one wants to watch something that ticks them off. People are entertained when they smile, oh, by the way. And please don't tell me that this protest wasn't anti-American in its origin and anti-cop in its origin. It was, and it remains to be. Whether or not this is a Black Lives Matter or police brutality, whatever it is, keep it on the bench, off the bench, and take it to the streets if you must. Raise your fists like Colin Kaepernick as you stand with the Black Panthers off the football field. I had to watch a dedication halftime by Beyonce last year, dedicated to cop killers and the Black Panthers in her reformation.
Let me ask you, you're fiddling around with the microphone?
Well,
you
I'm
love
sorry.
Fiddling
Did you hear?
With microphones.
I know. Sorry.
It's like they always say about kids.
Oh, I feel like it's a toy.
All they want to know is how it works. Oh, right. My God.
So no. Are they going to stand, by the way? Are these guys going to stand?
These guys apparently are standers. These are guys that honor the flag,
good.
Honor our country.
Well, maybe their teammates can follow in their footsteps.
We like to hope so. Now, question, though. Now Colin Kaepernick is filing for collusion among NFL.
The Russians?
No. Yeah, Russian collusion to keep him out of the National Football League. Does he have a leg to stand on legally?
What kept him on the bench when he was playing for the 49ers?
He wasn't any good.
Right.
His completion percentage, you
Correct.
Know, important things.
Why doesn't he go get hired by George Soros? You know, the resist movement, they need something.
George Soros needs to buy a National Football League team. He's got
there
the money.
Go. Yeah,
he could pony up $2 billion.
Yeah.
Easy. Mm-hmm. And then he could hire Colin Kaepernick.
I could really
Kaepernick.
Say something and I just bit my tongue.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're on radio. Yeah. We were on XM, I could.
Jameson, keep that
no
finger.
No swearing. It's no
keep
swearing.
Keep that finger on the dump
But
button.
I'll tell you what. You know, you want to talk about a human trafficker, and you want to talk about a filthy, disgusting human being, and that would be George Soros. And that's who is funding this anti-American movement. He's a seditionist, and he uses his money with RefuseFascism.org and Plan Nevada right here in our backyard. Watching you.
I want you to hear from Tom Perez. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's go to cut three, because this is Donna Brazile. Yesterday on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, Donna Brazile wrote the book Hacked. This is cut three, and she talks about. No, I'm sorry. It is cut four. I stand corrected. With George Stephanopoulos responding to the liberal critics of her new book called Hacked.
How do you respond? It's not just the Clinton campaign. You know, there's a lot of traffic on Twitter right now. I've gotten emails from Democrats,
I bet.
Passionate Democrats, who say they feel betrayed by all this. Any regrets?
Do I regret taking on a job the second time in my life as chair of the party, cleaning up everybody's mess, taking all of the income in, being unable to spend funds that I raised? Do I regret being on the road 100% of the time, being hacked by the Russians, being harassed, getting death threats? Do I regret any of that? George, this was worse than Hurricane Katrina, the emotional toll. But do I regret standing up for what's right, helping Hillary Clinton, helping the Democratic Party? And let me just say this, as somebody who went through the hacking experience, being able to tell the truth about what happened with the Russians, the attack on our government, do I regret any of that? No, I wish I could have done more, George.
Do you think this helps for the book to come out?
This is a lesson of 2016. If I released it next year, they would say, Donna, you're impacting on 2018. If I release it the fall, Donna, you're impacting. George, for those who are telling me to shut up, they told Hillary that a couple of months ago, you know what I tell them? Go to hell. I'm going to tell my story.
Okay, they have Donna Brazile. Now, if that had been a Republican that tried to link this to Katrina and saying this is worse than Katrina, I'm promising you there would be demands for apologies. All of the people of Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, they demand an apology. If this were Trump saying this, if this were any Republican to equate this and saying this is worse than Katrina.
Right, even a black Republican. It's interesting to listen to her, okay? And you have to really listen to what she says. She said she got death threats. She also says in the book, now why would she get death threats? Geez, was she trying to uncover something that was questionably ethical and probably illegal, which it was? She says that the Russians hacked. Well, actually, no one has really told us who hacked the DNC server because the DNC server was never turned over to the FBI for forensic evaluation investigation. It was handed off to a company through their lawyers to, I believe it was CrowdStrike, if that's the right name. Yeah, some independent, third, well-connected Tony Democrat operative to tell our FBI that, yeah, nothing's wrong here, look the other way. And then she goes on to defend the indefensible, which is the illegality. She would do it for Hillary again. She would stand for Hillary again, even though she knows that Hillary Clinton rigged the election. And fourth, she said she walked into a shambles, and she did, because Barack Obama left the DNC $24 million in debt.
And by the way, that's the reason why Hillary's campaign had to loan the Democrat National Committee $20 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, this wasn't like, oh, we're, you know, can you cover us till payday? That's $20 million.
Well, yeah, and they got $152 million from the Russians for a transfer of 20% of our uranium. So they had the cash.
Unbelievable. More coming up. Reagan, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, joining us. And when we come back, I'll let you hear from Tom Perez. They tried to get Tom Perez to admit that the primary election was rigged. He wouldn't bite. In fact, they asked him a couple of different ways, and the answer was still the same. Because they're looking ahead. They're looking ahead to Virginia, to New Jersey. Election's coming up tomorrow. I don't know. You think Democrats will win that? I mean, we always talk about this civil war in the Republican Party. Boy, the Democrats are going to blow it up.
The cockroaches always stick together, but some of them are jumping off the ship. But now they're all of a sudden being managed to have the same deny, deny, deny.
Unbelievable. And the way the media is treating this with kid gloves is absolutely, it's laughable. I mean, it really is. If it wasn't so damn sad, it would really be laughable. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. In studio, we'll get to your calls as well. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. That's Megan Barth on Live and Local Now. Local Now, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, joining us. And whenever we have breaking news on the voter integrity, voter fraud standpoint, we always consult with the woman that was out front. I mean, she's been a leader on this topic. She's been doing investigative reporting on this for, I don't know, a long time. Talk a little bit about what you got. You've got some news.
I do. And it was funny because I was going to publish this today, but it would have gotten eaten up really by, you know, the news cycle because of the shooting in Texas. But it will be released this week. I just don't know which publication yet, but definitely on my website, ReaganBabe.com. And the Secretary of State in Nevada just released basically like late last week. And I caught the tweet by John Ralston. And he was concerned because for the first time in a long time, the Democrats or the first time the Democrats have gone under like 80,000 voting lead over Republicans. And then he thinks that the 80,000 threshold is really what they need to keep a Democrat majority, right? But what he failed to really mention was that when you looked at the report published by the Secretary of State, 18,000 Democrats were purged from our voter rolls.
That means taken off.
Correct.
Eliminated.
Correct.
They don't exist anymore.
Correct.
Somebody comes with those 18,000 a voter registration, and they come in and say, "Hey, I'm Joe Blow. I'm one of those 18,000." They're not there.
Right.
They don't get to vote.
And Donald Trump only lost the state by 20,000 votes.
Wow. If that's true, then that means that could have been a game changer.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. You want to talk about Hillary stealing a primary? I think that this Nevada election was stolen. And I have said that since day one. And when you look, 18,000 Democrats were purged from the rolls. I want to know, and I will have a letter into with the appropriate form into the Secretary of State, how many of those voters voted? I want to know where every single voter came from. Obviously, I'm sure a majority was in Clark County because that's where most of the voters are. But Donald Trump only lost Washoe County by 2,000 and maybe 500 votes.
Wow.
The whole county. Something like that.
Let me ask you.
Very small margin.
Is there still a meeting set for Stan Vaughn and the Secretary of State or somebody from the Secretary of State's office?
Well, thank you for bringing that up because Stan, I emailed Stan. I said, have you gotten a date, you know, yet so I can update? Nope, he hasn't heard. And he sent, at the time I talked to him, I think it was two emails.
I thought it was supposed to be somewhere around the 9th of
November. Well,
they
have to call Stan back or they have to let him know when he needs to take a day off.
The 9th is later this week.
Correct.
Wow.
And that was the date he proposed. If it doesn't work for them, then let Stan know it doesn't work for them. But he deserves some communication considering the fact that they are the ones that initiated the request for the meeting.
So they've purged 18,000.
Over. It's like 18,700. I don't want the exact number, but it's, you know, it's a significant chunk.
Does that tell you that we need to go deeper into this, into these voter rolls? That if this is the tip of the iceberg, this is just the first 18,000 that they found.
Yeah.
Does that mean they've got to scrub the entire voter roll for the state of Nevada?
Well, that's what this purge represents. This is the cleanup. This is the what they say is, you know, the required cleanup, which it is. It's like, unfortunately, HAVA has a rule that every 2 years the rolls are cleaned up. But come on, 18,000 Democrats, 3,000 Republicans, like a handful of independents. We need to do a better job at making sure that one vote means one vote per one. Each person gets one vote. And if there is an illegal person that is voting, that cancels out a vote. The only voice we have is our vote. And we need to ensure it's one person, one vote, not one person, three votes. They stack the deck. And you have to look. And this is why I think the Democrats were just so shocked that Hillary lost the election. The entire Rust Belt. Do I have to repeat that? She lost the entire Rust Belt. They thought they had the fraud baked into the bread. In California, for example, they haven't cleaned up their voter rolls in close to a decade, and no one's enforced it. So I want a better job at communication. If our Secretary of State, Barbara Zagaski, says she's the champion of election integrity, this should be the primary issue that she can create trust in these in the Nevada voters. And I'll tell you what, she creates trust that she's doing her job and she is being open and transparent and responsive. Great. But Stan hasn't gotten a meeting and she still hasn't looked at my 10,000 envelopes.
And again,
to my knowledge.
Okay. Let's go back to that. You submitted 10,000.
Correct.
Envelopes.
Correct.
They were sent first class mail, so they were rejected.
Correct.
With a reason on there. You submitted the 10,000. The Secretary of State has looked at 3,000.
That, yeah, according to the Secretary of State's office, they wanted to talk to Stan about 3,000 envelopes. They're finding on 3,000 envelopes. Well, I'd like their finding on 10,000 envelopes.
Wow. You want to join us, you want to be a part of the show, you can. 844-263-8232. That's 844, the number 2, Nevada. Tell you what, let's begin with Frank. Frank, you're up. You're on with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, people. Megan.
Hi.
Founding fathers. First of all, it's sheer insanity to allow anybody on any part of a government dole program to vote. As soon as you go, and you got to have a social security number, so it'd be easy to track. Allowing them to vote, and we ought to really tighten it up. If you don't own, and I'm not talking about paying, if you don't own your property, you can't vote. If you didn't, if you do own, you can vote. If you did a tour of duty in the military, you can vote. And you should have had to done 2 tours of jury duty. Those should be the criteria for voting. How somebody that's on government dole has a say in this guy, that's how insane the Demo rats and the rhinos are. You gotta love how the Demo rats and rhinos skew numbers, and when they talk, like how appropriately Flake and Corker, they love speaking for us as if they've set the tone of conduct. And you could, they're actually treasonous. And you gotta love how they love to, as Jerry Doyle would say, you can lie about the numbers, you know, but the numbers don't lie. The death rate from guns, 2/3 of it is from suicide. And a lot of people are in a lot of pain. I mean, I'm not even gonna get into the reasons for that.
That's another mental health. This is a consequence of mental health. It's, again, the most under-talked about issue faced as a cancer in our society.
I would say 85 out of 100 people have some serious issues in this country now. I thought it was 65, but in living here in Vegas, there are a lot of addiction issues on top of that. But last but not least, the Democrats, you know, boom, we've got to do something. As you pointed out, they had a chance to repeal the Second Amendment when they held all 3 branches. They didn't even attempt to do it, let alone they never attempted to do it. Let's see, Boston was done with the pressure cookers. We need to ban pressure cookers. The trucks running over people, and not commercial yet, but let's ban all the Ryder and U-Haul rentals. We got to outlaw those. Sharon Tate was stabbed with a fork in the mountains. We got to outlaw forks. And above all, and all those murders combined don't add up to Roe versus Wade and the legalized infanticide, and God's going to pay us for this, the millions every year that the Democrats don't want to talk about. Hey, love you guys. Great show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Frank. Where do you begin?
Where do you begin? As Donald Trump said today, our president, this is a mental health issue. And, you know, we used to infirm people with mental health. And we really don't, because it's actually the ACLU got behind and said, it's not fair. You must let these people wander free. And many of them are homeless. And so we do have a cancer in our society, and it comes from a variety of forms and malignancies. And I think that Frank, in his own way, pointed out many of the malignancies. And I'm not calling mental health a malignancy, but when it's a danger to the general public, that needs to be identified and identified quickly. When we talk about opioid addiction and such, and we're putting kids on ADD medication at the age of 6 and then wondering why they, you know, are depressed and they're anxious and they are, you know, they don't know what's right from wrong. We've got a prescription drug problem in this country. I was just thinking, you know, ADD doesn't exist in France. You know that?
It does not?
No. It's not recognized.
Well, maybe they don't recognize it's still there, though. They may call it something else.
They do not prescribe. They do not prescribe children psychotropic meds for ADD. Correct. Correct. So, you know, when you look at a lot of the history of these mass shooters, they are on some form of psychotropic med at one point in their life.
Yeah.
And so these are the facts and the statistics. Like you said, numbers don't lie. You know, you can lie about the numbers, but numbers don't lie. The Democrats don't want to have this type of argument. They want to actually put a Band-Aid, really, on a festering cancer. But they do. It's not a Band-Aid. It's the removal of rights, them telling you what exactly you can have, when you can have it, and how much you can have of it.
Well, I will simply say this. And again, I did not know that about France.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a little
incredible
thing, and you know, Cliff Clavin. I can't remember what I did yesterday. Okay, but I use my Rolodex. And sometimes the numbers are just a little bit off, but not to the major point. But in general, there's a lot of facts that the Democrats don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about their stance on abortion, because if they really did talk about their stance on abortion, it would alienate a majority of people in this country, and even millennials. Millennials are more pro-life than they ever have been before. And so that's why you see these desperate personal attacks, the politics of personal destruction, coming from the Democrats, calling everybody Nazis because they can't tell you what their tax plan is. That's why they've lost 4 elections, 5 if you consider the national. So if they can't lie, cheat, and steal their way through an election like I believe they did in Nevada, by calling voter fraud a myth, how can you call voter fraud a myth when there are thousands of cases that presented themselves across this country, thousands, and some with prosecution, like the illegal alien millennial that was registering people to vote and telling people to vote multiple times. And I mean, there's just case upon case.
Atlantic City, I sent you a clip the other day on Atlantic City. I mean, it's everywhere.
Right. And yet they call it a myth, and they want you to be stupid enough to believe their talking points.
Unbelievable. Megan, always good. If folks want to know where you're going to be, you're on radio, you're on TV, all over the place. Where can they find you?
ReaganBabe.com is my website, at ReaganBabe on Twitter, at ReaganBabe.com on Facebook. And I've got a new show coming up starting Sunday. So I'll tell you more about that.
Ooh.
But yeah. Yeah, with Melanie Morgan.
Oh, my buddy.
You know Melanie.
I do know Melanie.
Yep. So 3:30 Sunday. I'll have more of the details. I'll publish that on ReaganBabe.com.
That is absolutely wonderful. Yeah. That is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com.